Everybody know the old hymn, I Need Thee? Why don't you take off on it, okay? I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. The title of our talk this morning is How God Can Use You. Would you say with me, in spite of my issues? Say it again, in spite of my issues. God can use me in spite of my issues. How many of you have issues? Just a couple of us? We don't need to have this class. Hello? How many of you have issues? I thought so. We all have issues. Amen. But we don't glorify. Can we bring the volume down just a little bit on the mic? We don't glorify the issue. We glorify God in spite of the issue, because we don't let the issue dictate our future. Let's say it again. We will not let our past dictate our future. If you let your past dictate your future, you'll be dwelling in the past all the time. And you'll be dwelling on the issues all the time, and you'll never get to your destiny. You'll never fulfill your purpose, there's a problem. There's a condition. God will not pour His anointing into a dirty vessel. Let's say it together. God will not use a dirty vessel. Let's say it again. God will not use a dirty vessel. Let's say this. God will not pour out His power in a dirty vessel. So you have to, consecrate yourself. You have to, as a matter of fact, I had a brother call me last week. I don't think he'd mind me sharing this little bit. He said, Brother Morris, I don't feel very spiritual. I says, neither do I. He said, what are you talking about? You think I'm going around speaking spiritual all the time? Can you say this with me? I am a spirit being having a temporary human experience. Say it again with me. Come on. I am a spirit being having a temporary human experience. I'm on a journey. Pilgrim's Progress. So I'm moving forward, but I'm a spirit being. If I dwell on the human side, and if I dwell on the human element, and if I dwell on the human side of everything, I'm telling you what, I would be totally messed up. Because in my boardroom, there are three people, my mind and my flesh and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the chairman of the board. Is that right, big brother? Everybody said the Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
Since I'm a spirit being, is the chairman of the bell, chairman of the board. Almost something else came out there. Come on. The Holy Spirit is the chairman of the board. And we men, we're very visual. When we see, go like, wow, look at that. That's the first, it all starts with the sight, right? So you have to learn to bounce your eyes. Talk to me. You have to learn to fix your eyes on the prize. Hello? And we're very visual. I mean, it all starts with what we see. We're very visual. And when we see, you know, the mind begins to trigger in, you know, thoughts about immorality or whatever you face, and you begin to trigger towards that. And the next thing you know, it all starts with sight, and it goes from there to thoughts, and the thoughts turn to sin. You know the progress, right? And sin ends up in what? Talk to loud. It ends up in death. It starts there and ends up with death, right? And so the Holy Spirit in us is saying, no, 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 no. I'm the chairman of the board. You listen to me. So your mind begins to, how many of you have thoughts sometimes? You go like, where did that thought come from? So you got to be, since I'm in the ministry for as long as I have been, I have to say, Father, that is not my thought. I don't know where it came from. I reject that thought. In the name of Jesus, I don't let that thought dominate my day. But I know who I am in Christ, and I will not let that thought. I get some pretty rotten thoughts every once in a while. I go like, wait a minute, where did you come from? You have no, my mind, as a matter of fact, I have to open my mouth sometimes driving in the car. It says, my mind is not your dumping ground. So don't dump that thought here. I take you captive right now in the name of Jesus. And I have to do that almost as a constant battle. Everybody says, every man has a battle. You ever have a battle, brother? And the mind is the battlefield. Everybody said the mind? It starts in the mind. So I have to keep my mind focused. Let's all say together, we have to keep our minds focused. Now, I'm not anointed for teaching. Hello? There's no one, I don't believe I have an anointing to get up and teach, so I have to kind of just go with my heart. So I'm going to talk from personal experience this morning. Is that all right with you, brothers? So I'm not the kind of guy that can sit down and take an educated outline and it looks so beautiful and everything. I'm invited to Liberty University with Pastor Jerry Falwell later this year. And I go like, huh? What do you ask me to do? We want you to teach a bunch of pastors. They're going to get a grade from your teacher. I said, you mean at the university? You asking a high school dropout to come and teach at Liberty, at a university? And they're going to get a college credit for me teaching? You in for a big surprise. And you still, they said, Brother Morris, you know why we invited you? Because we've heard you just teach from the heart. I went, oh, really? How many of you here last night? Everybody here last night? The message on the Holy Spirit. Let's just say this. God uses the least likely. I was the least likely. Out of 12 siblings, one brother passed away at 4 days old, but 11 surviving siblings in my family, I was known as what they call the black sheep, no pun intended. Hello. But I'm the surprise of the family because I'm the runaway. I'm the one who got the most whippings. I was the hard-headed one. I was the one that nobody could figure out. I was the one that everybody was saying, my goodness, how did you ever learn to play like that? My dad did not even know I could play until I had been playing for probably, I don't know how many years I had been playing before my dad knew I could even play the piano. Because I would run away to the church and I would learn at the church. There was no piano at my house. There's no piano. No, we didn't have room for a piano. We barely had room for us. 11 children in the house, mom and dad. So that was a kitchen, a bedroom for the boys, and a bedroom for the girls, and a bedroom for my mom and dad. That was the house, a four-room house in Arkansas. There was no room for no piano in that little small house. Hello? I had to go up to the church and hide out in the church because if you played the piano and you were a black boy, you were a sissy. Hello? If you played violin, my goodness, that was even worse. Tell your neighbor, there's a man after God's own heart who played a harp. Come on, say it with me. There was a man who God himself said, David is a man after my own heart. And he played a harp. And he was nobody's sissy. God himself said, that's a man after my own heart. Hello? So I had to endure the hang-up of being ridiculed because I would play the piano. Hello? And if a young boy begins to hear what people say about him, and that begins to enter in his mind that he is what they're calling him, he'll end up thinking that's who he is. Is that true? So some of us in here have had to endure verbal abuse. Some of us had to endure physical abuse. Is that true or false? Some of us maybe even had to go through sexual abuse. I don't know. You know what's in your past, amen? And we're not going to dwell on your past. But we are going to say this, God can use me in spite of my past. Moses had a past, and part of it was murder. Abraham, liar. Peter, the ultimate failure. Is that true? I mean, walking right alongside Jesus himself and denied him three times. And God still used Peter? So God can use you in spite of your issues. Is that true? Now, you don't keep doing the issue. Hello? But it comes up every once in a while because I'm a witness. Hello? So the thing that I used to do, you think the enemy gonna leave you alone when you start getting successful? Uh-uh. The more successful I become, the tougher it gets for me. Did that scare you? No. Shouldn't frighten you, because greater is he that is in you that is in the world. So what you got to do is stay focused when the battle begins to rage again, and it rages all the time. But I have found it out that the deeper I get into the anointing, and especially when I start mentoring other people, making it, the enemy just got double bad and double mad. To take you back to 1993 real quick, okay? I was going through, major issue with whether to divorce my wife and leave my wife. It had gotten so intense in our house. Because it's like to me, with me being in the ministry, it's like me beginning to just pull apart, just really, really bad. And things got really, really intense. And I was going through a battle, should I divorce or should I not, or should I just leave and what? And I was driving in the car and I heard the radio, and it was Dr. James Dobson and Dr. E.B. Hill. Anybody know who Dr. E.B. Hill? Dr. E.B. Hill, and we're talking about what had happened at Promise Keepers in 1992. And they played part of Dr. E.B. Hill's message. And I got, the Holy Spirit just come into my car, and I got so encouraged. I said, the next time they have a Promise Keepers, I'm going to that. Now, my intent was to go and just sit in the stadium with all the other brothers incognito. Well, you know, that was going to be tough because I've got a face that everybody recognized that wouldn't leave me alone. So I said, well, I have to wear sunglasses or something, or go in the back. So I thought, what I'll do is I'll just call Mary after music, and I'll say, can I sit back somewhere in a room where I can just have some quiet and I can hear all the speakers? And they said, well, on one condition, if you'll sing. I go, I beg your pardon here, I'm all messed up. And my marriage is on the rocks and everything, and you asking me to sing? And Brother Morris, trust us. We know what we're doing. We want you to come and sing. So they were putting a band together, seven singers, seven players. So about 14, I think we're about 15 of us, if I remember. The first band, 1993 at Boulder, Colorado. I walk in and I just said, Father, I don't know why they let me out here on this stage. I'm not qualified. I don't feel like I should be out here. Because I was just, I wasn't just going around running around with my wife and anything like that. You know what I'm talking about? But still, the issue was there, and it was, I felt such guilt, and I felt, how can I go ahead and face this? And it was 50,000 men in that stadium that day. Well, I remember seeing Coach McCartney. Anybody know who Coach is? And Coach walked up to me, and I said, he says, man, I like your spirit. So I don't even know this man. I talked to Bishop Porter. He was at that time, he was, I had known some of his other relatives. I said, Bishop Porter, I don't belong here. He says, why, Brother Morris? I said, I am just messed up. I don't know why you asked me out on this stage. He said, Brother Morris, we all messed up. That's why we're here. All 50-some thousand of us are messed up. That's why we're here. I go like, oh, really? Then I don't feel so bad. I got 50-some thousand comrades up here that's messed up. It's something about having strength in numbers. Everybody say, a strand. If you begin to kind of tie those things together, it's amazing how one brother can encourage another brother when he's having issues. Hello? Come to find out that Coach's marriage was in trouble. And the man who founded Promise Keepers? Yes, sir. Listen to his testimony. Trouble in his house. Hello? Never forget, Dr. James Dobson spoke the last message on that Saturday night before we closed and before we had communion. And I never forget that Dr. Dobson says, forget the notes that's in your notes. He put away all the notes. That's the only time ever at a Promise Keepers I saw a speaker put away the notes and talk from his heart. And he just, he talked, he said, brothers, the reason why you are here is not because to get out of mowing the grass last, you know, today. You didn't, your wife didn't let you come, you know, just to show you have like a little fling of a weekend. But your wives are hurting back home. You need to go back to your queen at the house. Some of us need to go back and apologize. I never forget when I got back from Promise Keepers, I fell on my knees in front of my wife, and I bowed before like she was Queen Elizabeth. She all off and hit me upside my head. Get up off the floor, what's she doing? I go like, wait a minute, it didn't work. But gradually, over time, I began to see the wall between my wife and I just begin to break down, break down, break down. I remember even since that time, I started to take my ring off and just do it again. Lord said, nope, not until I tell you. That ring represents eternity. An unbroken circle there. Amen? Are we all the way out of the woods? No. Are we separated? Are we divorced? No. You know what? How many of you have gone through separation before? So there's some brothers who've been separated from your wife before. Amen. Anybody here gone through divorce? I can name you names that are some of the most powerful ministries alive today that have gone through divorce. Pastoring some of the mega churches in this country, their first marriages failed. And they got remarried, and they have powerful ministries. But we won't go there, okay? You know why? Because I have some issues about divorce, and I have a lot of pride when it comes to divorce. That's why when I said, Father, I've said at that altar in 59, for better or for worse, and this is the worst. So when I said for worse, I'm going to go through the worst. Somebody said, well, you're trying to be a martyr. You ought to just leave. I said, well, you know what? I got this sense in my heart that some brother is watching me to see what I'm going to do. And if I leave, that's his license to leave. Hello? I have this awesome sense that if I walk out, that's his excuse to walk out. And if I'm going to mentor somebody, then I don't have no excuse, because you know why? Grace is sufficient for me. And there are a lot of people who will get up in front of you and make you think that everything is all rosy all the time. But the walk of faith, the walk that I walk, is not easy. Hello? I remember maybe about a year or two ago, I was sitting with my wife at the dinner table. I said, honey, I was trying to explain to her why I was so tough with my girls. She said, explain to me what you're doing with the girls. I said, the reason why I'm so tough with these girls is because one of them is married. And I don't like the dude she's married to. Hello? I'm hard on this young man. Even little old issue like, man, why did you open her door for her? You get your Excuse, can I just be street talker this morning? Get your butt around and open her door. You don't, my daughter ain't gonna stay married to you very long if you don't open her door. Tough on her. Hello? My daughter Kimberly was dating a young man in Atlanta, Georgia. She had moved to Atlanta. And I took her and the young man to dinner. She said, Dad, when he had let her, the evening was over, and she asked me, she said, Dad, what do you think about him? I said, dump him. She go like, Dad? I said, well, you asked me, didn't you? She said, why, Dad? I said, he ordered first. I said, the dude sat there in the restaurant and ordered before you did. He didn't even give you the courtesy of ordering, asking you what you wanted. And didn't open your door. She said, is that all? I said, no, I don't like him. I said, there's something about him in the spirit of discernment that tells me he's trouble. And that was just the indicator. Turns out the boy was, even the mayor of Atlanta got burned by this boy. Is that bad? Forgery, bad checks, all kinds of things. You know what? The Holy Spirit is just good. Is that right? So I was telling my wife, I do not want to see my daughters go through what I put you through. And she says, what did you just say? I said, go back and listen to what I just said. I said, I do not want to see my daughters go through what I put you through. And it could have been, I don't want my daughters to go through what you put me through. You see the difference? See, I could have been focusing on what Shirley did to me. But it was how every, you know what Dr. Tony Evans says? Show me a messed up woman and I can trace it back to a messed up man. Right or wrong? So show me a messed up woman and you can trace it back to a messed up man. I'm mentoring a couple right now in Las Vegas. Sweetest couple. Sweet, I don't know how you can love anybody more than I love this couple. Just like I've adopted them, a young Hispanic couple. And I'm constantly looking at them, and all of a sudden I begin to discover things about them. You know what this all traces back to? It traces back to somebody in your history. And the wife, I said, you know what this traces back to, sweetheart? This traces back to your daddy. You're not married. The young man that you married to is trying to overcome the problem that you had with your father. You need to go back and deal with the issue with your daddy. And then you're going to treat your husband better. It started with your dad. Or maybe somebody, have you ever been molested? I'm just blunt, honest. And I said, I want to know, what is it in your past? And it turns out that she don't have a relationship with her father. She don't even like her daddy. Well, she's brought that baggage into her marriage. Well, so how is it going to affect her marriage? How's it going to affect her relationship? As a matter of fact, if you want to gauge praise and worship in your own life, you can trace it to how you treat a woman. Hello? If you want to gauge praise and worship in your own personal life, you can trace it to how you treat your wife or another woman. Hello? Because worship is about relationship. Everybody says worship is about relationship. See, worship is not just getting up on Sunday morning singing a slow song after the fast ones are over. Hello? That's not what worship is. Everybody think worship is, oh, worship. Worship is more than ritual. Worship is your lifestyle. Everybody said lifestyle. So if you want to gauge your heart of worship, you can gauge how you treat your wife. And if your wife ain't happy, your whole house ain't happy. Why did I get off on this subject? Are we doing good on time? Would you say this with me? Marriage is a good model for worship. Now, some of you are single. Everybody who's single, wave your hand. I want all you who are single, who has marriage plans, begin to worship God with all your heart. You make that your lifestyle. I tell you one thing, you'll have a good marriage. Hello? You are looking at a brother who, if you knew my past, you would say, how in the world could God use that young man? Hello? But God can use you in spite of your issues. Ain't that right, Brother Daniel? What do you do in real life?
I'm an iron worker.
God can use an iron worker. Are you a good witness? You try to be a good witness? That's good. Some people don't even try at all. Iron worker. Some of my best friends, people think that I'm all my best friends are musicians and famous artists. Guess who my best friends are? Somebody who works putting pipe underneath the ground for the city of Las Vegas. A construction worker. Joey in Georgia, electrician. Chris Wallace, insurance salesman. Tom Neese, worship pastor, pastor of recovery. Amen. This is just a few of my friends. Very few musicians. I have a few musicians that call me their friend, but the people who call me the most, you know, one brother just got back from Iraq. He's a pilot, U.S. Marines. John Slifer, tough dude. Keeps me on my toes. Everybody says iron sharpens iron. You know what? It's something. That's why I don't like to do this outline thing. I'm not against outlines. Don't you dare go there, Morris. I'm not against outlines. Everybody, you know, I'm not against education. I happen to be the uneducated. Hello? But God has used me in spite of a lack of a lot of things. No music training, yet I can get on the piano and just play in every key. And it's still one of the mysteries. And people go like, you got to be kidding me. You got to know something about music. I don't read a note. I know every good boy does fine and F-A-C-E. That's it. I know what a treble clef is, and I know what a bass clef is. And somebody put a piece of sheet music in front of me, I said, what key is it? Somebody can read music, what key is this in? They tell me it's in the key of G. Oh, great, great, let's start off in G. I said, you sing it, and I'll pick it up. And they go like, how did you do that? I go like, don't ask me. I couldn't explain that in 100 years. I would have 100 lifetimes. I could not explain. There are times when I'm in my home, and I hit a chord, and I never hear that chord ever again, just once. Once. I got up this morning and I can hear in my heart, don't fall into pride over your testimony. Hello? And don't try to sound so, you know, don't try to make a big deal out of the fact that you can't play by music, because sometimes you can even fall into pride over that. Because God should receive the glory over everything that we, even, as a matter of fact, our testimony ought to glorify God. Is that right? Let me clap with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew. At Promise Keepers, I was also struggling because I had people telling me that I was washed up, that I was, by that time I was in my 50s, and I'm now in my 60s, I'm 65, going on 66, and I didn't even receive songs, I didn't even write songs until after 40. I got my first piano in the house at the age of 40. I got the piano at my house right now is a birthday present from a scientist up at Utah State University named Thom Hardy, T-H-O-M. Everybody said Thom Hardy. A brother by the name of Thom Hardy, him and his wife Tina, gave me my birthday present. It's a Yamaha console piano sitting in my living room today. Bethlehem Morning, Be Bold, Be Strong, Jesus Your Name Is Power. All these songs were finished on that piano after the age of 40. So the people that I'm mentoring right now, brother, young man in his 20s, I said, what if God makes you wait another 20 years? I ain't willing to wait that long. I said, well, go ahead. You're on your own. That's the way God took me. I'm not saying that God is going to make you wait until you're 40 before he can use you. But what if? Are you willing to wait? Well, I can't wait that long. I said, well, that's just too bad. I said, you know what I want you to do? Stop trying to have a musical career. Go get in a local church and learn, get on the worship team. I should have said, while you're there, go clean the toilets too. You'll find out if you got some, hello, you'll find out real fast. Because why did the toilet thing come up? I was a janitor for 17 years. And I was playing in the local church, of course. I would play on weekends in the local church. I would rehearse choir by what they call rote. Everybody know what it meant to train by rote? When you couldn't read the notes, it's called by rote. So I guess that's the way you do it. There should be an explanation. But what I would do is I would take the choir and I would teach them what I could hear. And then I would ask people who knew. It's called delegation. I would have people who knew what an alto was. I said, the alto, come out here and show them your part. Soprano, you come out here and show them that part. And we all worked together in unison, and we had one of the best choirs. But you know what everybody said about the choir? This brother has no musical training, but that's the most anointed choir in town. Because our focus wasn't on talent. Our focus was on worship. Never will forget that when I first started to play in this one church, they wanted me because I was a what they call a gospel pianist. You know, you play, hit the big gospel notes. But when I began to move into praise and worship, they thought I had died. And they said, Brother Morris, what happened to you? I said, what do you mean, what happened to me? The music you keep playing now, it sounds so quiet and it's too dead and it has no anointing. What happened to you? You don't sound like us. You don't, what's happening to you? What's happening on the inside? Have you lost all your anointing? And I said, what are you talking about? Well, you need to go find another job because that's not the kind of music we want in our church. But they didn't know that God was taking me through a new phase into a new paradigm shift. And guess who encouraged me? My wife. She says, Chapman, don't pay any attention to them folk. If you come into the house and you play for me, sit at the piano and you just play for me and for the Lord. Said, we'll have church, just the three of us in the house. Guess what most of the songs were written at that point? In the house. Be Bold, Be Strong was written at home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord was written in my house. One night, late one night, my wife comes up and she says, what are you playing? I said, come sit here and listen to this new song God just gave us. Never forget, we had a morning prayer meeting. My wife says, stop, Chapman. She says, go to the piano right now. God's getting ready to give you a new song. I said, huh? I run to the piano and I started playing some song. I go like, what in the world is this? And I felt kind of like, it's odd, if I don't get the song, my wife's going to look bad. You know what I'm saying? So I better play something. And I just in obedience, just went to the piano and started playing. The whole song flows out. The entire song. You got a minute? Goes like this. Behold the Lord, glorious majesty. Behold the beauty of his holiness. His holy name be magnified. The way, the truth, the life, the door was crucified, now glorified. He's King of kings forevermore. Behold He reigns forevermore. Praise Him in the heavens, in every creature here below. Exalt His excellent greatness, all honor unto Him bestow. Behold His glorious majesty. Never been recorded. But it glorifies God. You know, I have probably countless songs in my spirit that have never been recorded. Record companies hear that song, go like, nah, we don't like it. Now, what if I listen to the record label instead of the Holy Spirit? Especially now with secular ownership. Warner Brothers, Time Warner owns my catalog for 10 years of writing at Word. Bethlehem Morning, Be Bold, Be Strong, all those songs in that catalog is owned by Time Warner. Can't touch them.
But thank God I've gotten free. Where I can just write and receive, and I can give it away if I want to. I walked into a big music store. The reason I'm talking like this because sometimes people will say a word to you. If you listen to what they say, it's like a knife going through you, and it'll gouge your spirit so bad until you'll stop right there and you'll quit and throw it and quit the race right there on the spot. And God will not use you any further because you let some man or some negative word dictate your future. Excuse me if I get angry. The Bible says be angry and sin not. I'm so angry with the devil this morning for messing people up by negative words. Come on, take your brother's hand right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we have rebuked every negative word that's been spoken into these brothers' lives this morning. Turn back every negative word. Every lie, let it be refuted. That's not their destiny in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you. You negative thought, you negative thing, you negative word. It did not come from God. It came from the pit of hell and back where you came in the name of Jesus. That little old yappy dog that's yapping at the fence, you shut up in the name of Jesus. And you stay. Hallelujah. Excuse me, why don't you give God some praise up in here today? Hallelujah. I like that little story. Amen. This little bold little 12-year-old, huh? Say, excuse me a minute. I like that little boy gonna be so mighty. I don't know where he is today, but he's probably a mighty man of God. Amen. And you know what? And the way Pastor Russell described this kid, it'll be somebody who will look like a come out and call him probably like a nerd. God uses nerds. Hello? As a matter of fact, that's not you. That's not really who you are. That's what the world calls you. But what the world calls you, not what God calls you. Is that true? Abraham, issues, Isaac, Jacob, who God even changed his name. Is that right? Come on. You can, matter of fact, I remember asking Bishop Joseph Garlington, I said, Bishop, I don't know whether it's a spirit of prophecy or whether there's an anointing to prophesy with people. I said, but I don't want to be prophesying over people if God ain't said it. So I have this reluctance to say anything to anybody because I'm afraid if God didn't say it, I'm going to mess up that person's future. And he said, Brother Morris, the Bible is filled with reluctant prophets. Go ahead and prophesy. I got, oh, really? He said, the Bible is filled with reluctant prophets. Jonah. Hello? There's one right there, huh? Is that right? He ran to me. No, I'm not going there. Is that true? Jeremiah. Amen. Reluctant. Moses. I don't even talk good. God says, I'll be your, who made your mouth? Amen. God is good, isn't he? So God will use you in spite of your past. God will use you in spite of your issues. How do you understand what the anointing is? Can you say this with me? The Holy Spirit and the anointing. Synonymous. You can't have the anointing without the Holy Spirit. You can't have the Holy Spirit without the anointing. You got to have both. Amen? If you get the Holy Spirit, you got the anointing. If you don't have the anointing, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You have an unction. Everybody says, I am not the anointed one. Everybody says, I am not the anointed one. But my anointing flows from the power company. Hello? Say, my anointing flows from the power company. But see, there are people who try to dictate your future by saying, well, God can't use you because you're not even anointed. Huh? You might be the quietest person on the block and get more people saved than the noisiest guy on the block. Does that make any sense? Hello? Just because you loud and boisterous at the party, that don't mean that you're the one who's the life of the party. Hello? Now, I don't know where that came from. I hope that explains itself because I'm just talking out of my heart here. Hello? But you see some guy who looks like he's totally boring. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you one case in point. Okay, we're going to stay over here. Come here real quick. This is Bishop Jakes. You come here. And this is Billy Graham. Two different styles. Bishop Jakes. Yes! Can I get a yeah, man? Oh, yes. Get ready. Sit down. And here's Billy Graham. Quiet. Hasn't even finished his message. And people are coming out of the stands. And he's not even through preaching yet. Now, who's more anointed? Hello? That didn't bother you that much. Still, is that right? You understand where I'm coming from? How are you going to compare Bishop Jakes with Billy Graham? They're both anointed because they get their anointing from the same source. They have two different styles. So people, let me free you up real quick. When you emulate somebody else, you just told God, you didn't know what you were doing when you made me like this. When you emulate somebody else's ministry, when you emulate somebody else's anointing, when you emulate that, all you're doing is saying, the anointing that I have is not good enough. That's what you just told God. The anointing is, grace is not sufficient for me. I'm praying last week, Lord, give me some special grace for this. Lord says, special grace? What kind of grace is that? All my grace is special. And you got it. Just operate in the grace that you have. Because the thank you. Any tongue talkers up in here today? Glory to Allah. Ooh, glory. Go ahead and come on, praise God with me. Ooh, glory. The same grace that I gave to Paul, you got it. Whew. Paul said, I prayed three times for God to take it away, and God used him in spite of the thorn in his side. Can I just tell you, go back to Promise Keepers real quick? There was a brother who called me, and that brother discouraged me so bad. He says, Morris, you are a one-hit wonder. You know what a one-hit wonder? That person who writes one song and then makes a hit. He was talking about Bethlehem Morning. He said, you are a one-hit wonder. You are washed up. I said, man, you must be drunk talking to me like that. Because that was one of the brothers who used to encourage me all the time, and he flip-flopped on me and started telling me all this old negative stuff. Because, like, what's wrong with you, Mike? Hello? Now, what if I had listened to Mike instead of the Holy Spirit in me? Yes, I was struggling because, you know what, I had gone through every decade that was something God was using me specific. Guess what it is in my 60s? Mentoring. When the song, As For Me and My House, was finished, Emek and the devil just got double mad at me. You think my marriage is under attack before? I mean, here comes the next wave. And I'm already involved in Promise Keepers. And I had to stand my ground and said, matter of fact, my son, Kevin, who is now a part of the national band for Honor Bound, he goes to Green Valley Assembly of God in Las Vegas. My son, Kevin, is one of the musicians for the national band, for all the national meetings for Honor Bound. I'm going to forget Anaheim Stadium, the first weekend that Family Prayer Song was ever sung, men were getting saved right and left. That song that turned that meeting upside down was at Anaheim Stadium in Anaheim, California. I've never seen men jump fences and run across the field. I mean, how they had a barricade around that green grass because they didn't want you to walk on that field. Guys were jumping that fence and running across that grass to get to the altar on that song. And that same song had been rejected the year before. That same song at Boulder, 93, had been rejected in a pastor's conference. I'm up singing this song, and everybody standing around having coffee and talking, and I got so upset. I said, hear this song that God gave me in my house I thought was so anointed. Nobody was paying attention. I got upset about it. And I remember Buddy Owens says, "Don't be discouraged, my son. God's going to use that song." And it was the next year, Chuck Swindoll family, they said, "You got a song?" I said, "The one we did last year that got rejected, why don't we do that one?" Went back there and wrote a quick chart, went out there and sang it, and revival broke out. Whoosh! Hello? I never forget these two young men with the hair, you know how you call them, like a hippie? With the long, long hair and grungy looking. I never forget those boys fell up on me and just wept like babies. To this day, I never forget who those boys' drugs. Never was the same after that moment. Hallelujah. Let me just give you a secret. There were more people reached in the ministry between 93 and 2003 than all the other years combined. So from my 50s up through starting into my 60s, there have been more millions touched by the music that God had given us. So God knew what he was doing. Hello? God knew my future in spite of the past. He knew that I was going to be used for Promise Keepers. He knew that many men's lives were going to be changed. As a matter of fact, I've had some of the most encouraging letters from men saying that they have been challenged in their own worship because they watch you and you model worship for them. And it's, I mean, even letters about songs as old as Amazing Grace said, "When you sang Amazing Grace, I watch you when you sing it. You really believe what you're singing because you model worship for us." Hello? I was just invited back to Promise Keepers for the first time in 3 years. I've been so busy doing other things until I had to step away from the band. As a matter of fact, part of it was being at home too. Amen? Amen? How many of you still have some things in your marriage and you still have to work at it? Hello? So as far as the music side of it, if I had to go by mere numbers, and it had nothing to do with me. I found songs that was recorded by Promise Keepers that had been rejected 15 years earlier. There was a song called "Christ in Us Be Glorified." You heard that song? "Christ in Us Be Lifted High." I found it in the storage shed in the backyard. It had been out there for 10 or 15 years, and when I found it, I gave it to Promise Keepers, and they said, "Where'd you find it?" I said, "It was in the storage shed in the backyard." "How'd you happen to find it?" I said, "We're getting ready to throw the box away." And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, "Don't throw that box away. Check that box first." Because I was just dumping boxes into this big old truck because we was cleaning out this big storage shed. I found that song in that box. Gave it to Promise Keepers. They recorded. 1.75 million men got a copy of that song. Hello? What if I had listened to all those negative people at the first beginning and said, "Your music is dead. It has no power. It has no anointing." Hello? Because they were thinking, can I just be blunt? They were thinking, here is a black man who doesn't sound black. Who said I ever had to? Hello? I guarantee you, if we dig David up out of the grave and breathe new life into him, there would be some modern day Christian wouldn't like him either. They wouldn't know it was David. They'd go like, "Who is the world is that? He sounds awful." Hello? Because of our little intuitiveness about what we like and what we don't like. But what you don't like and what you don't like doesn't dictate your style of worship. The greatest argument in the church is over hymns and choruses. You don't believe me? Dr. Dobson will tell you the same thing. The show that got the most attention of all the ones he did, not even about abortion and everything else, it was about worship. The biggest argument, "Oh, no, 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 we don't want them choruses. That's straight from the pit of hell." Hello? All we want is hymns. Hello? It's not about me. It's not about you, brother. Hello? Who am I to tell you and to get up in your face and says, "Man, don't sing because you don't have a voice. You don't even, you know what? As long as you're worshiping God, but how your voice sounds is between you and God." Don't let, as a matter of fact, let me encourage you before we stop today. Become, make a resolve in this room today. Let every man at this conference resolve to become a worshiper. Everybody says a worshiper. This young man in my church, his name is Larry. He was standing next to me, one of my best friends. I mean, sweet, sweet brother. I made a comment, brother, if a voice was a ticket into heaven, you wouldn't get there. You sound awful. And it hurt him so bad. And it hurt me after I found out how much it hurt him. I don't know why I said such a stupid thing. That was probably about 25 years ago. We're still best friends too, okay? But who am I to tell some man, don't sing because you don't sound good? Don't just sing in the shower, sing in church. But don't just sing in church, sing in your car on your way to work. Don't just sing in your car, sing, sing, sing. Matter of fact, your antidote for overcoming depression is praise. Everybody says, my antidote to overcome depression is praise. You try mixing depression with praise, it just won't mix. Somebody will get up in here and shout right now because you're going through something and you can praise your way right out of it. And not because you're trying. You cannot twist God's arm and make him do anything. God is not going to change. It's me who needs to change. But when I begin to praise God in the midst of the battle, that means I'm changing for the better, because I'm not going to let this trial and this thing that I'm going through dictate where I'm headed, because my faith is taking me someplace. Is that right? I feel my EV heel coming on all of a sudden. Hallelujah. Yeah. Get up on your feet and give God some praise. That's all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Woo. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just say, Father, God, thank you for using me in spite of the issues. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. We have about 5, maybe 7 minutes, is that correct? We have about 7 minutes. Like, does anybody want to ask me a question real quick? Did you have a question in your heart? Who would that be? Did you get anything out of this? Yeah. Amen. Come on, brother, real quick. Come on, run up here real quick. Beg your pardon? You want me to play some songs? You want me to play Amazing Grace? I don't ever get tired. Anybody ever get tired of Amazing Grace?
No.
Don't ever get tired. So you want to sing? You nobody want to ask no questions? Did you have some of your questions answered already? Okay, real quick.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad you were here today. You know, I got saved about a year ago. Within a week and a half, 2 weeks, I was up on the...
I asked you for a question.
You affected my life today. I've been struggling being up with the praise and worship team. I was telling the brothers last night, and you answered my questions. It's not about us. It's not about us not being worthy. It's all for our God, our Lord, our Jesus. And you answered that. You took me to where I couldn't get to by myself. It was just the Lord working through you.
Don't you make me cry up in here, man.
I praise God for you today, brother. I praise God for you. Thank you, brother.
Come here. Now, I'm ignorant when it comes to this supervisor. Is it a district supervisor? Is that right? What's your title, Pastor? Overseer, district superintendent. You have to help me out on this one, and if I get off, that's one thing about it. You got to be bold enough to take a move, and you got to take a risk, and you got to be humble enough to be corrected, so I stand corrected. But if all that is in me that I have, but it's not God, it's not a partial God, I pray that it will be imparted to you in Jesus' name. The same anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I'm a mailman. I saw a sign on a church. And he said it even better today, but it says, the best preparation for tomorrow is the best use of today.
You want to write that down for me? Write it down on something, give it to me. Wow. Let's all stand. Thank you.
this song would probably tie in with having issues. And it has never been recorded. Matter of fact, it's so new until every time I sing it, I get something new. But it's, the situation may never change. Change me. The trial may seem strange. Change me. There's a purpose in what you allow. By faith I'm coming through this trial anyhow. In the midst of it all, Lord, hear my call. Change me. And last week there was a new verse. The other day, I think it goes like this. Use a problem, use a trial. Go ahead and change me. Oh, I feel your anointing, Lord. Thank you. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I can trust you knowing that I'm your child. Oh, yeah, yeah. Change me. All my steps are ordered by you. So no matter what I'm going through, hear my cry, hear my call, change me. Direct me, protect me, inspect me, direct me. In the midst of it all, Lord, hear my call. Everybody sit with me. In the midst of it all, Lord, hear my call. In the midst. In the midst of it all, Lord, hear my call. Change me. Change me. I'm hearing something else. From glory to glory, rewrite my story. Everybody, from glory. From glory to glory, rewrite my story. Come on. From glory to glory, rewrite my story. In the midst of it all, Lord, hear my call. Change me. In the valley low, on the mountain, Lord, it's in the valley low, that's where I'm allowed to grow. Change me. Father, we're tired of being stirred and not changed. We're tired of being stirred and not changed. You can use us in spite of our issues, in spite of our past, Father God. Our past will not dictate our future. Let's all sit together. Our past will not dictate our future. And it's all because of your amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now we
light shining as the sun. We know last day to sing God's praise, and
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead. It's all right.